Let's pray. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Then I ask that you help me, Father, and direct me now, and direct us all, Father, as we listen with our minds and our hearts, that our spirits should be moved by your will to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's interesting, you know, when we walk with the Lord, it's not about theory, it's about the reality of walking with the Lord. So a lot of the times people have theory about walking with the Lord, and there's a lot of theory and good ideas, but not so much reality. So the reality, so people search the scriptures, for in them they think that they find God and the truth. They're searching the scriptures, but they won't go to God, they won't truly go to him so that they can find life. It's interesting, when you go to God, what happens is you hear from God. You know, there was a scripture that's come to my mind this week. I think it's a warning scripture, you know, and it's good. Paul says, the apostle, that we should walk circumspectly, that we should assess where we are with God. We should never take things for granted. And I think so often people can just go along and take things for granted. But I'm telling you the truth. We have to guard against that. Don't take things for granted. Walk circumspectly, listen to God, and be attentive to what God is saying. The scriptures tell us this in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. So the scriptures are very clear. This was written to the Laodicean church, a church that the Lord wasn't pleased with. But it's interesting, isn't it? It says, hear my voice. So first of all, someone must be listening for his voice. And they must be open to hear his voice. There's so many voices today, isn't there? So many voices in the news. So many voices on the television. In politics. In sport. There's so many causes today. So many different causes that people could listen to. So many things. The media, Facebook, whatever it is. YouTube, do you hear the voice of Jesus, is the question, though. Jesus says, if anyone hears my voice. So I'm asking this morning, do you hear the voice of Jesus? What's he saying to you? It says here, and opens the door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, okay. So you hear the voice of Jesus. Great. What do you do as a result? Respond and open the door. But I'm telling you the truth. I'm not playing games, you know. I'm not standing up here just for the sake of giving a sermon because it's a Sunday morning. I'm telling you, communicating to you what God wants us to hear. Not by route, as it were. We're doing this because this is what God is speaking to us. Many people in churches across this country and the world are involved in the religion of Christianity, not real Christianity. They're involved in the religion of Christianity. They go into church. They think that they're being dutiful. They think that they're, you know, Christians. They're not. If you're not hearing his voice and opening up the door for Jesus to have his will, you're not following Jesus. You see, Jesus was writing to the church here in Revelation. This wasn't a group of unbelievers, this was the church. This was the church that he was speaking to. And he says here, he says in 15, he says in Revelation 3:15, just a few verses before this scripture, he says, I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. The interesting thing in the lukewarm word there, that word means this. It means people who fluctuate from, in the Greek, it means a fluctuation from being hot and enthusiastic to being indifferent. So the fluctuation is what causes the lukewarmness. Hot for a season, cold. Hot, cold. In a cold season at the moment, it's okay. I'll be hot in the future. You know, next couple of weeks now, next month, I'll get, you know, when things have quietened down a bit, I'll get a bit more serious with God and I'll have more time. And that's that dangerous position that Jesus is talking about here in the book of Revelation. Are you listening this morning, everyone? Please, are you listening, everyone? Because you see, the reason why I'm saying this is, don't think I'm being negative. Please don't think it's negative to look at this. No, it's not. I'll tell you why. Let me read from Revelation 3. It says this. Watch this. Revelation 3, verse 19. The verse just before this one. We read 15, we read 20. Revelation 19, it says this. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. See, it's good for us to be chastened. If you speak to people and they're not chastened, you just wonder. I wonder about them. You know, this week the Lord spoke to me this week. He gave me a picture of someone. They've been criticizing me. They've been criticizing the church. They've been criticizing, saying that we don't do enough evangelism. They've been criticizing, saying we don't do enough of this and I don't do enough of that. And the Lord gave me a picture of them in my mind. So interesting it was. And I knew someone who knew them. And so what I did was I phoned up the person who knew them and I said to that person, I had a picture of so-and-so they've been talking about. They've been speaking negatively about me and about the church. They've been pouring out the fruit. I like to say it like this. It's the fruit of Judas. We looked at Judas last week. The fruit of Judas is that stuff. I phoned up this person. They said, yes, it's true. I said, well, that's a confirmation from the Lord. Because there's no other way I could have known. I was just in prayer and the Lord showed it to me. I said, I was shocked. But I had to find it out, because in you find it out, there's a reason for it. If God shows you something, there's a reason for it. So I said, well, what's the reason? And the Lord said, well, look, you need to share this with the church and just warn people and just tell people, look, guard against this because of this reason. That Judas was someone who betrayed the Lord, and his duplicity was evident. And it says this, let me read from where I was led to go. Matthew 26:14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. It's a betrayal of brothers and sisters in the same body, as is meant to be. It says in Matthew 26, let me read. Now, from verse 48, it says, now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he's the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi. Oh, greetings, Rabbi. I have people that come to me, oh, pastor, pastor, pastor. Yeah. They don't realize that I see into the heart and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Jesus called him friend, interestingly, as opposed to family member, friend. Actually, we're family, which is closer than friend. Abraham was regarded as a friend of God. We're in the family. Greetings, Rabbi, he said to him. That's what Judas said. My friends, listen to me. Jesus warned, and this is why we have to stay so clear and so strong, and we have to gain that strength and that clarity by self-examination. We have to watch. We have to watch the fruit of our lips. We have to watch and examine ourselves. Better for us to do it than him. He says in Matthew 7, here, Matthew 7 from verse 21, he says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, Rabbi, Rabbi, Pastor, Pastor. Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Now think about that, my friends. This isn't a testimony against doing those things. This is saying that those people who do those things, even those people, I'm going to say to them, get away from me, I never knew you, if their hearts weren't right. Even those people, that's the point of this verse. Let me just do a test this morning. Let me ask people this morning, have we not prophesied in your name? Put your hands up if you've prophesied in the name of the Lord here this morning. Would you do that? Look at that lovely baby there. Good girl. Let me see hands. Prophesied in the name of the Lord. Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay. Now then, let me ask something else. Done many wonders in your name. Have you done wonders in the name of the Lord Jesus? Yeah, there's been wonders, yes. Yes, wonders, yeah, yeah. There's been wonders. Cast out demons. Who's cast out demons? Cast out demons, yeah, yeah, yeah. I like this. This little baby is enthusiastic for the Lord. Yeah, cast out demons on this side. Yeah, yeah. So what I'm saying, what the Lord is saying here, he says this, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The point was this, lawlessness there. And what it says in lawlessness, it's interesting. Lawlessness in the Greek, that word in the Greek, it's anomeia in the Greek. And it means this. Properly, it's a disregard for God's law. So his word. So when the word of God tells us how we should behave towards one another and tells us how we should love one another, how we should serve one another and look to one another and encourage one another and be kind and loving and building one another up in our most holy faith and those sorts of scriptures, the lawlessness there is implying that people who live without that. So in other words, they're doing all sorts of things out there, but in the body, there's lawlessness with them. They're sort of a law unto themselves, as it were. They're practicing lawlessness. He's going to cast them out. Does it strike you? Does it concern you? Is it a concern for you? It's a concern for me. I don't want to be one of those. You see, I want to be someone who's in, clearly in that number, and I am. But when Paul says, listen, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, what does he mean? Let's go to it. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. It's God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Where it says to work in you, in the Greek, it's kata. It means to work down exactly to the end point. So to work out your salvation means you work it out to the end point. In other words, what's the point of your salvation for you as an individual? And the implication in that is, what has God called you to? Because it's God who's working in you to perform that. So when we mentioned things earlier about things in the church, what's your role then in the church? What's he called you to in the church? Called you to a role in the church without question. Well, what is that role? And then work that out with fear and trembling. In other words, if you don't want to be one of those who are lawless and who have a lawlessness about them, submit to working out your salvation with fear and trembling to the end point of the call of God in your life, so that whatever that call of God is, you make sure that it's your goal in life to pursue that with all that you have. Please don't be someone who just, you know, is coming to church just a now and a then and a casual thing and a just a casual. Please don't be casual with this almighty truth, this gospel of Jesus. The whole point would be lost if we were casual with this. What this is saying is, look, employ every bit of energy that you have in pursuing this. Work it out. Find out what this is for you. What has God put in you? What's God called you to? What gifts has he given you? And then pursue those with everything that you have, with all the energy that you have. Pursue it much more than your secular work. Pursue it much more than anything else in life. Make this the number one thing in your life to find out, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because that's how God will manifest his will in and through your life. It might be that God has called you into that secular position and you have to work that out in that secular position. It might be that that's the case. But for many people, that isn't the case. For many people, a job is a job. It's a place to get finance. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But the call of God for them is in a different area. Am I making sense this morning, everyone? Is it making sense? Because it's so important. You know, to work out, it's like this. It's in the Greek, the word to work out in the Greek is energio, to work out. And what it means is that you engaged in to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that there's an energy that you're putting into this thing. You're putting in energy. That's where the English word energy comes from. You're putting energy into that thing, and it must intensify as time goes on. And It energizes to the point that you go from this place to this place, and there's a progression. And because you're putting energy into this, you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling, you're in this place, but then you go to this place. And the Lord is moving you on as according to the energy that's being put in for His work to be done in and through you. And the key is, it's His work. That's the key here. It says this, it's like an electrical current energizing a wire, and then that wire goes, the power goes through the wire, the energy goes through, and then the light bulb shines. That's what it's like. But don't think that because you're involved in something that seems to be Christian, that that's necessarily the call of God for you. You have to hear from Jesus. What did Jesus call you to do? You know, some people say to me, some people were saying to us when we were doing things with TIKIN, for example, the International Christian Church Network, people said to me, oh, well, you know, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? I said, well, it's the leading of the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the leading of God. I mean, I'm following what God is saying. But it didn't make sense in the natural so often. It just didn't make sense in the natural. But the fruit of that ministry is tremendous fruit. Thousands coming to faith. Thousands of people coming to faith. So many things are happening through that ministry now. We could never have seen that at the start. But what we had to do is we had to put energy in, There's no one shouting. There's no path that anyone showed us to do this. Had to hear from the Lord, pour energy into that thing under God's direction. And then as we pour the energy in and pour the energy in, at some point the light comes on and people say, wow, isn't that nice? Yes, it was nice, but it took the energy to be poured in right here at the start when no one was encouraging, no one was saying anything, but you're hearing from Jesus. My sheep hear my voice and they open up the door. Jesus, here's my life. Come in and take over. Have your way, Lord. You know, that's what it is. So it's saying, I'm abandoning myself to Him. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Have your way with me. Take my life. And of course, when I think of that energy as going through the wire, going into the light bulb, and the light bulb lights, I think of Philippians, you know. It speaks, doesn't it, so clearly of us who shine as lights in the world. Philippians 2:14, we're shining as lights in the world. Brothers and sisters, we're surrounded with a warfare situation. Sometimes there's enemies within. Pastor. Only God knows who's who. God knows. Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes things come to the surface and you're shocked. You think of Rabbi Zacharias. Things come to the surface and you're shocked. And you think, huh. But it's good to see the power of God manifesting. So, when people do listen to Jesus, there will be a manifestation of the power of God. Not intellect, but the power of God. So there'll be miracles. There will be the casting out of demons. There will be a prophecy in the name of the Lord. There will be those supernatural things happening. Without those things, what you've got is just an intellect. And this is why, whilst it's so good for us to do charitable things, very important, and it builds a bridge into the world. And I'm so happy. I thank the Lord that we have a church that does charitable things and does acts of kindness, like parcels recently. I mean, what a beautiful testimony to the area. And parcels being handed out around the neighborhood, food parcels and love and kindness. Beautiful. But here's the warning. So many churches do that, and they have a lack of the supernatural and the spiritual behind that. I'm so happy that as a church, we don't. That's birthed in us from the supernatural. It comes because we have that supernatural. But we must always check ourselves, you know, and check that that's there, the reality of that. My friends, I'm saying this morning then as I close here, look, make sure that Jesus is guiding you. Make sure that you're listening to him. Make sure that you've opened up the door and you've said to the Lord Jesus, come in, Lord Jesus. And make sure that when he does come in, you're yielded for him to have his way, for him to cast out demons in you, for him to have have your tongues that he can speak through you, for him to have control over your life. Make sure that's what that means, that he has your will, so that you're not concerned about people and what people will say. You're concerned that you're yielded to him and what he will say through you. You're not worried about what people will criticize, what people will say or think. No. You're happy to be of no reputation, that Jesus is seen to be reigning in you and through your life. As I come to a close this morning, I just want to share this scripture with you. Come with me, please. Let's read from Philippians 2, verse 1. It says this, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. When people are of one accord and one mind, you know then that there isn't a lawlessness there. Lawlessness is the issue. Lawlessness is the issue where basically division comes and it's sown into the church. Division is sown into the church through the lawlessness of somebody. The enemy manifests through somebody. And usually, they're the one who thinks that they got all the answers. They're the one who thinks that they're right, that they're better, that they understand more than everyone else. They're naive enough to think that it's lawlessness. It's not of God. It's not being like-minded. It's not having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. It's the Judas spirit. The spirit of Judas. Judas felt he knew more than Jesus. Judas understood more. He felt he knew more. He felt Jesus was going the wrong way. Judas had all the answers. But the spirit was of the devil. He wasn't of the right spirit. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, verse 3 of Philippians 2. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. You see that? Can you see that deferring, that humbleness, that humble attitude? If you see someone, they don't have a humble attitude, watch out. The humility is a hallmark of Jesus. Humility is a hallmark. Pride and arrogance and someone who thinks he's got all the answers, she's got all the answers, watch out. Humility is so vital. Lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Let me tell you something. There was a person who was in a church. And they say, oh, well, the church is okay. The church was okay. What was the service like? Oh, the service was okay. The service was okay, but there was a problem in the service, Macy. The problem in this service, according to this person, was there was too much Bible. It kept on going back to the Bible. What you read in the Bible, it's boring me. Give me some story. Give me something a little bit more. I want something else. He kept on going back to the Bible, and the person said it was boring him. When I'm reading the Bible this morning, everyone, are you engaged? Are you engaged? Are you interested in what it says? It's the Word of God. Listen, when people don't spend enough time in the Bible, what happens is they have their own thoughts. Their mind is filled with their own ways or other people's ways. And they're not filled with the ways of God. God has given us a way to fill ourselves with Him. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. How do you let it be in you? Do you say, oh, I let this mind be in me. I'm going to let it in me. Well, where's it coming? It's going to come. I'll go over here. Maybe it'll fall on me. Maybe the mind of Jesus will fall into me. No. That's not how you let the mind of Christ be in you. You let the mind of Christ be in you by taking the Word of God in you. By studying the Word of God. That's how the mind of Christ comes in. And then the Holy Spirit directs that mind into action. Let me read here as I continue. Just as we close here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My precious brothers and sisters, I give this word to you this morning in his wonderful name. Amen.